If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
Back on the grid, Mike, Dane, and Ariel, hour number three. Excited to have you here. Thanks for watching our draft coverage. We're updating you live on sportsgrid.com and all the streaming on all the major platforms. Please follow us on our YouTube channel at SportsGrid. So we're bringing in George Kurtz to start hour number three because the Rams have made their selection, I believe. The pick is in. I don't know if we have it officially yet. George, if you have it, feel free to send it our way. But what do you think? Where do you think the Rams are going here? They made a pick earlier this round. What do you think their next move is?
I don't have it, so I'm waiting here. Okay. But when they picked at 20, I had four players written down for them. Running back, I had J.K. Dobbins. They went with Cam Akers. I'm fine with that. Good move by them. Maybe they want to replace Brandon Cooks. All right, Denzel Mims was there, still is there, out of Baylor. But I think what they're going to go here, offensive line. There are two linemen that have fallen here, Josh Jones out of Houston, Ezra Cleveland out of Boise State. I think they go with one of these two offensive linemen. I think this draft has actually fell very nicely for the Rams.
Hey, George, you mentioned that offensive line could still be the place here. What do you think about the defensive side of the ball? You know, I put some of their needs still at a lot of different layers of the defense. They've made some moves there, but if they went defense and, you know, didn't have the surprise of these two tackles still being there, which level of the defense do you think is the biggest priority for the Rams right now?
Well, we know it's not going to be interior defensive line, right? They're not going to go there. You got Aaron Jones. You're fine there. Everybody needs a pass rusher, so I don't blame anybody for going to grab a pass rusher. I'm fine with that. But one player I could see them going for, Jeremy Chinn, safety out of Southern Illinois. I think that's an area of need as well. So one thing, I think Chinn would be sort of the off-the-board play for me, but he's a guy I could see them going for as well.
Kurtz, with the Rams taking Akers for their running back position, there are some other needs too. However, I look at defense because the Rams were at minus 124 to draft a defensive player with their first pick. And then you see 50 sacks by the Rams defense last season, which was the fourth most in the NFL. What on the defensive side of the ball can the Rams be looking to?
Well, the Rams are a little top-heavy there, right? I mean, you got Aaron Donald. We know when you got Aaron Donald, he's going to require two, three offensive linemen to stop him. They may not feel they need another great lineman there because everybody else will be one-on-one. You should beat your one-on-one battles with Aaron Donald getting so much pressure there. Jalen Ramsey, remember, they haven't signed him yet. He's going to require another big contract, so I wonder if cornerback is where they're going to have to go later on in this draft, once again, to get some lesser talent there. We just saw they took Jefferson, the wide receiver. I would have taken Mims, but I don't blame them for this pick. This is the replacement for Brandon Cooks.
So 6'2", 200, University of Florida, yet another SEC player, Van Jefferson. Denzel Mims is falling for whatever reason. Yeah. We thought, I mean, during the draft process, he was flying up draft boards. And when the rubber meets the road here, he's fallen down draft boards. But, George, you kind of nailed it. It's a replacement for Brandon Cooks. This is probably the most top-heavy team in the entire league. They have big inflated contracts. That's not even including what Jalen Ramsey is potentially going to be signed for. And they don't have a lot of depth. So they really do need rookies to be impact right away. And two offensive players right up front tells you that they need these guys to be good right away. They're not going to be sitting around. But that's a difficult proposition considering where we are in the world. The lack of training camps, lack of OTAs, whatever might befall them as we head towards the beginning of the football season, which we hope happens on time.
Absolutely. Listen, I'm a little surprised. I don't blame them, but you receiver was an area of need. Josh Reynolds is an okay guy for Brandon Cooks. I mean, he's not great, but he's an okay guy. So I'm surprised they went with Van Jefferson here. I would have taken the tackles. If you're worried about, Goff, you just restructured his contract. You're a little worried about him. He played so-so last year. Get him some protection where he's not looking over his shoulder or not thinking he's going to get hit and throwing up his back foot over and over again. I don't mind the pick, but it's not where I would have gone. I would have taken one of the fallen offensive linemen.
Yeah, Kurtz, I'm with you. You know, they were talking up Reynolds after the Cooks deal. And one of the things we've been saying, Blewett, you and I have been talking about it for years, the idea that they've allocated so much to that position, the walls have already closed in. That's why they moved Cooks in the first place. And now they allocate a second-round pick to, again, that wide receiver position. Kurtz, what do you think this says to the rest of the offense there in Los Angeles?
Yeah, Minnesota just takes Ezra Cleveland, one of the guys I wanted the Rams to take. Good move by the Vikings there. I think it says here they're sort of doing what the Cowboys are doing. We're going to go score points. We're going to try and outscore our opponents. We're going to have three great wide receivers. Or maybe they got jealous that Dallas now has a better trio than them, so they go after this.
Same thing, you know, continuing to add offense to what could be already stacked positions, double dipping at the skill positions here.
Are teams copying the Chiefs?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll have an average defense, and we're going to win 40-31 games here. We're going to try and outscore you, force you into pressure. We're going to press you by putting points on the board. Problem is, no one has Patrick Mahomes at quarterback, which is not the same as the Chiefs. So I think NFL is a copycat league. We all say that. I think teams are trying to copycat the Chiefs. We want an average defense with a great player here or there, got Donald, got Ramsey, and then we want to put a lot of points on the board.
Yeah, I mean, they lost Dante Fowler, Corey Littleton, Nickell Robey-Coleman, and Greg Zuerlein. Your Cowboys signed two kickers this offseason. Good stuff. They re-signed Michael Brockers after the Ravens deal fell apart. And in a weird way, that's their best acquisition, re-signing a player that they thought was lost. They signed Leonard Floyd on a one-year deal, trying to recreate the Dante Fowler deal. A'shaun Robinson, 2 years. And they re-signed Andrew Whitworth. He's 39 years old, and they signed him to a 3-year deal. Obviously, it's a 1-year deal as you go, but I'm with George. I would have gone offensive line here. It's been an issue since they were in the Super Bowl. I don't quite get it. But, George, we're going to talk to you a little bit later. We'll bring you back a little bit later to talk more NFC West. We got these two's favorite teams coming up, so they're going to be celebrating. Dane, hopefully, celebrating a wide receiver. Denzel Mims, his guy, is still here. We'll talk to you a little bit later, George.
All right, good luck.
So you find George on Twitter, at George Kurtz. He hosts Football Full Circle with me and many other shows as well. So let's talk for a minute about Ezra Cleveland. He was one of the best players available as we headed into tonight, Ariel, and yet he plummets all the way down the board. But I have to give credit to the team that took him. From the players that they've selected so far, I'm giving the Vikings a high grade. I like all the additions that they've made at receiver. Their offensive line has consistently been an issue, but they have slowly tried to fix it. I don't know if it's totally fixed, but Ezra Cleveland may go a little bit more of a way towards doing that.
Yeah, and remember that the Vikings cut their right guard, Josh Klein. So they did need at least one new starter on their offensive line. I think that Minnesota is finding really good value with these players. Justin Jefferson at wide receiver, cornerback Jeff Gladney, then Ezra Cleveland at offensive line. And Jeff Gladney and Ezra Cleveland, two of those players that were kind of on the fringe in the odds between yes or no to that first round pick. Now you're seeing Minnesota taking Cleveland here. I think it's a good move by Minnesota.
All right. I think I'm seeing here, the Jets and then the Ravens. So the Jets, Dane, they did all this movement, and they still got your guy.
How much do you like Mims?
I mean, this is it. This is your guy.
Did that happen? I still haven't gotten it.
No, I haven't gotten it, but I'm just wondering how much you would like him if he did go to the Jets. Right.
So this is the thing, and Blue, we've been having this conversation all the way since number 11 last night, right? Yeah. The idea of, will they have the calculated risk? Could they kick the can down the road? To be quite honest, this Van Jefferson pick that happened before Denzel Mims.
Surprising to me.
Gives me a little cause for pause, right? There is a reason that Mims is falling. We all know it. He's the last one kind of left. And so the Jets, I think, are in position to take him. If they do pull it off and Mims is the guy that they kind of liked all along, then they were able to, you know, kick the can down the road and still get their guy. The question is, will he still be their guy? And why is the fall for Denzel Mims? This is a wide receiver that some people thought was a first-round talent. Now, if you tell me the Jets can trade back and still get him in the second round, I'm going to feel great about it, but I really wonder why he is falling.
Well, Dane, I want to ask you, too, about Breshad Perriman, who is the fast receiver. Then you have Jamison Crowder in the slot. Where is Mims falling into this receiving core?
He would be on the outside. Remember, I'm talking about the XYZ affair, right? And Breshad Perriman would be that take the top off the defense, that deep threat. Crowder is the slot guy, and Mims would fit into that other role, being the other guy on the outside. Remember, I liked Mims, and he's not as big as Higgins or as Claypool, but he's certainly not the more shifty type, a la, say, Chenault, or what we saw at a KJ Hamler. He's more like the outside receiver, and so if Mims is the pick, that means they were able to get another trade draft asset. Blewett, you were talking about it, not a ton of picks. They would now have three picks in the third round that we're going to cover later on tonight and still get a wide receiver that they could presumably start on day one to help out Sam Darnold.
And honestly, if they like Mims and they end up getting him here, then that's great. It's an A+ for Joe Douglas because he got a pick, got his guy. And I will note that somebody that slid in the draft last year after thinking he had first round pedigree was DK Metcalf.
There you go.
And he had a huge year for the Seahawks. People thought he didn't have a lot of production, that he just looked good because he's in this crazy shape and he's a specimen. But he ended up producing in a big way, including in the playoffs. So if it's their guy, I can't really say one way or the other that this is a negative for him. Juju Smith-Schuster was a second-round pick. We've gone over this a number of times. Michael Thomas, Juju Smith-Schuster, DK Metcalf. The list goes on of all these guys that are productive second-round picks.
Absolutely. He has the length. He is that kind of contested catch kind of guy. You know, the one thing that's an unknown for me is receivers out of the Big 12 in that kind of spread Baylor offense. I don't know when I see this guy's stats, you know, if they necessarily translate. I think the skill set translate. He needs to get a little bit more refined as a route runner, but that's something that can develop over time. The size, speed, ability to go up and fight for him, that for balls, that is something I like out of Denzel Mims. If he is, in fact, a pick, and it sounds like, you know, he is. I'm going to be very excited because then Joe Douglas got me the offensive lineman in round one out of the studs, manipulated the draft to move on back, and still got one of these wide receivers that were in the top tier.
Gabe, this is your sweet spot as we bring Gabe Morenci back in at Sports Rage, host of Game Time Decisions and In Game Live. Your sweet spot is when the bullets are flying, when the games are going on, you're making the right calls. The draft is ongoing. You call Denzel Mims, and it looks like it's going to be Denzel Mims.
Well, you know, a broken clock is right twice a day, Blewett. We appreciate that. You know, you're right. We're kicking it in the in a Sports Grid chat with everybody during this draft at about 15 minutes ago. I said, you know what, Mims would be a nice fit for the New York Jets. You look at the New York Jets, and I don't need to tell Jet fans this, but the offense is anemic. Yeah. And you need, you know, Sam Darnold, if you're going to take this kid, you're going to make him, you know, you want him to be the king of New York. Well, you better give him some minions to work with, so to speak. They have Lev Bell. They have to figure out a way to get on the same page, and you wonder if that's ever going to happen. But now they have somebody that's able to stretch the field. This kid's fast. We're talking 4.38 speed. I like the fact that the kid's going to have a chip on his shoulder as well. You know, he wasn't expected to fall this far. You know, it's amazing because his hype was he was going to be a late first-round pick, and I thought that was kind of crazy. I didn't cash a ticket with him. I wish I did in hindsight, but love this pick by the New York Jets. He only threw for 215 yards a game last year, guys. you know, that was a problem. I was thinking Komet would have been a perfect fit. Get a nice, I know they think they have tight ends, but Komet would have been a next level for them. They needed to address the offensive side of the football, as Dane alluded to. They, you know, they get a good football player in Becton. They get a monster of a man, a 6'7" man to protect Sam Darnold. If you give Darnold time, number one, and then number two, people to throw the football to, then I think he can be successful. I like this pick a lot by the New York Football Jets.
Okay, so it is official. Denzel Mims from Baylor goes to the Jets. They take their top two needs out at offensive line and wide receiver, those two picks, plus add a pick. Gabe, right back to you with a different topic. So kudos to you on nailing the Denzel Mims pick, but right back to you. New England trades up with Baltimore here and gets this next pick. Who do you expect here?
Well, you know, the Patriots are a team that clearly needs to address offense. You know, they thought outside the box with their earlier pick this evening. But, you know, this is what fascinates me about the New England Patriots. So we're going to find out what kind of direction are they going in. I got to believe, look, they have running backs, right? And they're not going to leave Jared Stidham to dry here. We'll see if they take a quarterback a little bit later on. I don't expect it to be a quarterback right now. But getting the Patriots is one of the toughest assignments out of any team, all right? It's tough. It's tough to know what they're going to do. And anybody that's on Twitter right now, I think Bill Belichick's dog is making the selections. Don't say he doesn't have a sense of humor.
Zach Bond is a linebacker out of Wisconsin that is still on the board. Remember, they have lost a lot at the linebacker level, even with their first pick. They went safe. You know, Bond was looked at to be a fringe first-round pick. You know, he is still there. The kind of player Bill Belichick might like in that defensive scheme.
No, you're exactly right. I'm surprised that he's still there. We're talking about a guy that was a quarterback, actually, in high school. You know, one of these is sort of another freak athlete, multi-positional type of football players. I'm surprised he's still on the board. But let's just be real. He's going to pick somebody from, like, Northern Iowa, Prairie View, A&M, Christian Tech. Not only is he going to pick a player, we never, he's going to be from a school. We're going to be like, and from DeVry University, defensive tackle, Bill Jones. You're going to be I don't see him in my scouting report anywhere. A guy that I'm surprised, guys, it's fallen as well. And it wouldn't surprise me with the Patriots is Fulton, the defensive back out of LSU. You look at the Patriots, they could use some help in an offensive backfield. I'm surprised this kid's still on the board right now that he's fallen this far. There must be something that they know that we don't.
Josh Uche is the pick for the Patriots.
Michigan guy, Gabe.
Yeah, so you know what? I should have went with him before. Listen, we've seen in the past, we've seen in the past, guys, some Michigan players have been successful for Bill Belichick in the past.
Chase Winovich, they drafted last season.
Exactly. Not just Tom Brady, though, Ariel Dane and Mike, but good call with Winovich. You're seeing all the criticism of Harbaugh. He doesn't win. Look, it's funny. Bill Belichick seems to like his players, doesn't he, Mike? What are you getting for when you're getting a guy from Michigan? You're getting a kid that's not going to get in trouble because Harbaugh will kick your ass off the football team. Yep. Number one, you're getting a kid that you know has been extremely well coached at Michigan. Never mind it, they can't beat Ohio State. You're still getting a player that's extremely well coached. I like this pick. Very good football player. Kid steps up in big games, too. You know, big sacks late against Northwestern to preserve a Michigan victory. Gets after it. Athletic. Like the pick a lot.
That's two Michigan defensive ends.
And when you talk about this guy, you know, he does get after it with his athleticism. If anything, he needs more polish to his pass rushing game. People were saying with him, he needs to go into a place where he can be coached up. Sounds like New England, a great fit to be able to do that.
Yeah, and you know, he's one of these kids, his motor doesn't give up. Like, you know, he's one of these guys.
The New England player.
Yeah. Like, all right, he missed the quarterback on the sack, and then he makes the play 8 yards down the field, Dane. He's one of these kids. Yeah, like he takes pride. Yeah, and sort of a lot like Vinovich. They take pride in what they do. They're going to handle their assignments, and they're going to get the job done. And that's why the Patriots pick him. Nice pick.
Yeah, good pick there. And Ariel mentioned Derek Rivers, a draft pick from a few years ago out of Youngstown State. Not been as productive as they wanted. So you can see they're refilling the coffers at defensive end with two Michigan players 2 years in a row. So pretty interesting stuff there.
About it. Oh, they don't have Tom Brady. Ooh, they don't have Gronkowski. Yeah. No offense yet.
Yeah.
Right? They're like, you know what? We're playing. I'm telling you.
Headed a break. We're going to come back right after this on the grid, on the Sports Grid Draft Special.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a six-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last two decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
He was one of the best players available on the board going into tonight. He's the 26th pick in this second round, Cam. So Vikes, as you were saying during the break, have done a really nice job adding talent here.
I do. And the thing about the Vikings draft is it's not going to blow you away, but it's been very solid. Jefferson in the first round, that's good. Gladney's a very, very solid player. And Ezra Cleveland, maybe a little bit of a knock because he played at Boise State in a weaker conference, but he's still a dominant player there. So I think Minnesota so far, they're great. They've done pretty good work. We'll see. I got Green Bay coming up at 62. And after that Jordan Love pick, they're going to have to blow people away or else it's going to be boo, Packer Nation, bad cheese. I don't know what's going on here. There's a lot of negative press in Green Bay right now. My buddy Fast Talking Mike, he's a Packer fan. He's like losing his mind about Jordan Love. He's pissed. But I'll tell you, Ariel, your Ravens, that's the team right now. I can't believe you got J.K. Dobbins. I love him. I don't know what is going on, but I really like what the Ravens are doing in this draft too, man.
I'm God, really that team's keeping good. My professionalism in check, especially it's tough when you live in a house where your dad and your brother are screaming, jumping up and down after every Ravens pick, and they're ahead of me downstairs. So I'm always like, ooh, what's going on?
Yeah, no, that's okay. Don't worry about the professionalism. You guys stay professional. I'll take it from there. I hope, Greg, you enjoyed that frosty brew. It looked very, very delicious, like it had some orange peel in it. But who do we got here for Tennessee?
I've got to ask you, up on Green Bay, right? Obviously, they were they were the team that made the big move yesterday, drafting Jordan Love as the heir apparent to Aaron Rodgers. You talk about maybe still wanting to go wide receiver or getting a playmaker. We've seen like 13 wide receivers off the board at this point. If they wanted to add a new toy for this offense, where might they go? Who's still left at the wide receiver position? Because there's been a ton. Even your boy Claypool's gone. My Mims is now a Jet. Where could they still go?
I don't know where they can go. Like before, I was talking about Hamler might be available. Chenault's gone. Everybody's done. I would not go wide receiver because I think the drop-offs there. What about Josh Jones on the offensive line? Cleveland just went. They got to protect Rodgers. And I got to tell you something. People might knock Aaron Rodgers, but look what they've done to this guy, right? Awesome. You go and pick Jordan Love in the first round. Give him some weapons to work with. Me and Gabe talk about it. That's why he's got a bad attitude. It's like they don't even talk to him about the things that they're going to do. It's like he's treated like a second-class citizen. Dude, I get his play has regressed over the last couple of years, but, man, help this guy out. Give him some protection and some weapons.
I was listening to Chris Long earlier today talk about that. If there's one guy in the entire building that the coach and general manager have to be honest with, it's the quarterback. You have to let him know, hey, you're the quarterback of the future. Here's what we're doing for you. And to trade up to take Jordan Love says more than anything to me. Forget that they picked Jordan Love. They traded up to get him, to ensure that they got him, meaning that's our plan for the future and we weren't going to tell you about it. So I'm with you. They lost Brian Bulaga, a longtime tackle. He got signed for big money with the Chargers, and they signed Rick Wagner to replace him, who is a 32-year-old tackle at a fifth of the price that Bulaga is. So I get you have to save money on occasion, but I can guarantee that Aaron Rodgers' longtime friend, Brian Bulaga, leaving, it was a little bit of this is more salt in the already open wound. So one pick to update everybody on, Christian Fulton, the cornerback from LSU, goes to the Tennessee Titans. Titans are a really good team. Obviously, they had a great season last year as things got late. The only thing that's ever surprised me, and Dane knows this really well over the last few seasons, is that they haven't been able to rip off as many wins as possible. They sort of made the playoffs because the Steelers faltered. Now, they showed up against the Ravens held the Chiefs in check there for a while, but... and obviously beat the Patriots. But really, they need to start winning some games in the regular season. Tannehill with big money now, but I can appreciate that that they have Fulton there. So Green Bay selects. Hey, my guy.
I love A.J. Dillon.
A.J. Dillon.
I don't think that's the right fit for Green Bay, though.
Yeah,
Jones is just coming on. Like, what are these guys doing? Sorry, I love A.J. Dillon. I love him, but what are you doing, Green Bay?
To me as well. We were talking about this, Blewett. You know, I know you're the BC guy, but AJ Dillon is an early down back, right? And we talk about how now teams are going with a two, maybe three running backs, and we were wondering what would be that team that still needs this piece of the puzzle, right? The in between the tackles back, but he goes to Green Bay. What do you think, Blewett, about your guy being now part of a committee with Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams?
I think Jamal Williams better be renting, is what I think. that's what I think.
Strong words, Blewett.
And I actually like Jamal. I actually like Jamal Williams, but you don't draft AJ Dillon here to make him part of a three-headed monster. Aaron Jones has obviously put up a million touchdowns last year, and I think they're trying to define the roles perhaps a little bit more specifically. Dillon might be able to carry the ball more than they feel Jamal Williams can. I am surprised that this is the pick. They still don't have an offense.
I've got to ask you, Cam, because the running back position was at 20-1 for the Green Bay Packers to select. Wide receiver was at 2-1. Wide receiver seemed like the smart choice here because Devontae Adams, for back-to-back seasons, has doubled all the other receivers in receptions in back-to-back years.
Yeah, I that's the thing. The best receivers are off the board. You could have taken here's one. What about Tyler Johnson from the University of Minnesota, a guy like him? Like, that kid is special, and he's underrated. What is Green Bay doing with A.J. Dillon? I can understand a team like Seattle maybe going after A.J. Dillon because Rashad Penny's always hurt. Carson's banged up. Even a team like the Bengals, they're going to have problems with Joe Mixon there, Dane.
I'm telling you, though, I asked you about it before with Detroit. I really believe a moral of the story here is the NFL is telling you it's now more than two running backs that are needed on a team. San Francisco is doing this. New England is doing this. I asked you about it with Detroit. We saw the Indianapolis Colts take a running back when they already have a couple. Green Bay is now doing it. We have Davis Maddock here as well, who we didn't get to talk to him about the Chiefs pick at the end of last night, but the Chiefs are doing it as well, going quantity, you know, in the running back room, something New England Patriots have done for a while, and yep. they add Edwards-Helaire, you know, right after.
But that's a perfect fit, Dane. Like, I understand where you're coming from. The Chiefs have the novelty winning the Super Bowl, and he's a perfect guy for their system. Green Bay has so many needs that you don't need to get A.J. Dillon in that spot. They already have the guys. That's all I'm saying.
The NFL is saying you need, that is a need until you have three running backs nowadays.
The pick shocking.
Good stuff, Cam. I'm a little surprised myself, but I appreciate it. We'll talk to you about again a little bit later in the night. We do bring in Davis Maddock. Haven't had a chance to talk to him too much tonight. So, Davis, Chiefs are on the clock here. I would love to get your thoughts, though, on A.J. Dillon. I'm a B.C. guy, so be gentle with me. But I'm just surprised he went to Green Bay. I'm not stunned that he went in the second round. He's a really good running back. He's not a pass catcher, but I blame the BC offense for that more than anything else. We didn't think Zeke Elliott was a pass catcher for a while until Dallas started throwing it to him, but I'm just surprised that's the fit for him.
We don't have audio here on
audio just now.
I got it. Sorry, guys. There we go. Sorry about that. So I have no issue with AJ Dillon as a prospect at all. I think he is awesome. I think he is very athletic. I think that, you know, learning how to catch the ball as a running back, probably if you're going to learn a skill, that's one of the easier ones to learn at the NFL level with NFL coaching. The issue the Packers have to have at this point is, are they even going to be able to get Aaron Rodgers to report to the facility when NFL players are allowed to come back to training camp? They draft Jordan Love with a first round pick. They draft a third string running back with their second round pick. What is their plan to get better? What is their plan to score points? It remains unclear to me at this point. So not a huge fan of the pick in terms of fit for the Green Bay Packers.
Hey, Davis, we talked about what the Chiefs did last night going running back. They're up again here. You know, I have to believe they're good on the offensive side of the ball at this point. So the Kansas City Chiefs in this pick, number 63 overall, where do you see their preeminent need, likely on the defensive side of the ball? There's still some guys in the secondary still available.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Chiefs are about to get lucky here, right? I think that they overspend a little bit on a running back, but there are a ton of good defensive players left for them. You know, Ashton Davis, the safety from the University of California, he seems like probably the correct selection for them here. But there are a couple good cornerbacks left, and I think that whoever they select here on defense is probably pretty likely to start for them on defense this year.
The Chiefs also gave up the seventh most rushing yards per game at 128.2. When you hear that stat, what does it make you think that the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, can really be zoning in on here on defense? I know you said cornerback, but I'm looking to the run game here to try to defend better.
Yeah, I mean, so if they did take a defensive tackle, you know, I can't say that we would be, you know, all that surprised either, because they likely want to get rid of Chris Jones' contract. They're just going to owe him. They're going to owe him a ton of money. They are going to owe a lot of players a ton of money. They have to give Patrick Mahomes, you know, at the end of this season, they're going to give him probably the biggest contract in NFL history. So they're looking for ways to clear the books. So, you know, defensive lineman, linebacker, would not be mega surprising.
The pick here, Davis, is official. It's Willie Gay. So they do
like eight games last year.
Yeah. You know, we're seeing some names travel down the board, and this is where things start to get a little funky, right? You start to see teams really hone in on what their specific preferences are. We see that with the Packers. It doesn't particularly make sense. We think there might be players above Willie Gay on our mock draft boards, but not for the Chiefs board.
Yeah, so Willie Gay, hyper-athletic guy from Mississippi State, you know, only 22 years old, ran a 4.4640 at 243 pounds, had an agility score, super fast, put up 21 reps on the bench press. So, you know, if we're trying to view this pick with a kind light, we say this guy very clearly NFL athletic ability, NFL speed, NFL talent. You know, I'm not going to have great opinions on a ton of second and third round middle linebackers. You know, I'm not going to tell you guys I watched a ton of Willie Gay game film, but in terms of NFL athleticism, he has it. In terms of positional need, as Ariel mentioned, you know, they did have a really tough time stopping the run last year. I would have preferred a safety or a cornerback here, but can't really fault them for this selection.
Davis, Willie Gay, one of the things that also happened with him is he missed 8 games last year at Mississippi State for a violation of team rules. So, you know, when we talk about the Chiefs and having the ability almost to have a quote-unquote luxury pick, would it be more worth the gamble for a team like the Chiefs where, like you said, the athleticism, the twitchiness, that's all there. Maybe he falls down for off-the-field with character concerns. Are the Chiefs more likely to make that kind of pick than another team?
Well, you know, I love my Kansas City Chiefs, but they are certainly willing to take risks on character guys. They just, you know, it's one of those things. They don't really care. And you can, you know, there's a lot of debate on good, bad, indifferent, whatever, but they are willing to overlook that stuff to get more players that they think are talented on the roster. So, yeah, I definitely think that is true about the Chiefs.
Hey, Davis, we're going to bring Scott Farrell in here because we got Cincinnati coming up, but I want to give you like 15 seconds. One pick that you liked or hated so far in the second round. We haven't talked to you much.
One pick I loved, Chase Claypool to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, boy.
I think that answers a need for them. I think he is going to allow Smith-Schuster to be in single coverage a little bit more often, something he struggled with last year.
Good stuff. We'll talk to you again a little bit later tonight. Appreciate it. Find him on Twitter at Davis Maddock, hosting everything on sportsgrid.com, rotoexperts.com, and the Sports Grid Podcast Network. So appreciate it, Davis. Talk to you again soon. Bringing back in Scott Farrell. Scotty, are you still in the afterglow of Chase Claypool or what?
Listen, I like his size. There's no denying, you know, if I'm a Steeler fan and I got a guy that big as a receiver, I'll take that every day, 6 ways till Sunday. But the thing is, I think, you know, for me, I think that a lot of blame is going on the Steeler receivers that they've, you know, had out there that they picked. That have underperformed, and we're not talking about how crappy their quarterbacks were. I have said this over and over. Mason Rudolph was a disaster, and Devlin Hodges, the Duck Dynasty, I went to see him play the Jets. I don't know if you were at that game.
I think we were there together.
Hey, you guys were there. That was the worst performance I've ever seen from a pro football team in a half. They had 2 first downs. They threw a Hail Mary right before the half that scored a touchdown. Otherwise, they would have never scored in the game. Hodges is terrible. My daughter throws it better, way better. She could throw a Nerf football further than Devlin Hodges. And you blame these receivers for all the problems. It's one thing to be a bad receiver. It's another thing to have 2 lousy quarterbacks that can't throw the football throwing to you all day, and they take all the blame. And now I guarantee you Roethlisberger will hit Claypool. He's 6'5", for Christ's sakes.
Yeah, so one thing I would say, not only was that a bad performance by the Steelers, it was the worst NFL game I watched all year. I made $500
to be at that game. I wanted to kill myself. I mean, honestly. Look, I didn't say one other thing earlier. I love the Delpit pick that Cleveland had. This guy is a Thorpe winner. And, you know, he had some injuries, whatever. But I think the LSU players, I think I did on the live chat, they're raking in this draft. the SEC, same thing, but really LSU players are standing out. Right after Claypool got drafted, the guy that I wanted, Jalen Johnson, the corner out of Utah, went, and then right after him, Diggs, the corner out of Alabama. And then I thought the, you know, the pick for Dobbins that the Ravens, I didn't get a chance to talk about him. I like that pick as well. I thought that that guy was an absolute freak on the football field for Ohio State. He is an absolute game breaker, and I think he's going to be a hoss in Baltimore. They're going to love him. I think sneaky, kind of, they've had a really nice draft, the Ravens, so far. I've been very impressed. But I got to tell you, I don't agree.
We're going to head to break here. We'll take you on the other side. We'll keep you through the break so you can talk about Cincinnati on the other side. So we'll come back with Sports Grid Draft Special on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As we had a couple of picks happen sort of right into and out of the break. Jeremy Chinn, the safety from Southern Illinois, goes with the final pick of the to the Carolina Panthers. And then we open it up with the Cincinnati Bengals. And Scott, it's Logan Wilson, linebacker, Wyoming, 6'2", 241. He put up some big numbers. So Cincinnati, like we talked about, they had to keep restocking. All they really had was the quarterback, which they drafted yesterday, a running back, a couple of wide receivers. Everything else was up for grabs, and linebackers certainly in need there, too.
Listen, much like the Gay pick before at the end of the second round, that's a speed pick. I think Dane knows that. You know that, Blue and Ariel. I think that this is a guy that shot up after the combine with great numbers. These NFL guys have always, in my entire life, I've been watching this stuff for a long time, and the one thing that always sells is speed. And the same thing goes for Logan Wilson, a three-time captain there. He's picked off a slew of passes, double-digit passes in his career in Laramie. He's fast. He hits. He's got great hands, great eye, quarterback vision. He reads plays and picks off passes. And for a white boy, he hauls ass. And I think 6'2", 240. I like his game. No one cares about cowboy football out in the mountains. But I've watched this kid play football before, Dane, and he can pick off passes. He's a playmaker with his hands. Good eye, hand vision.
I'll give you that, and I like the pick as well, but you and I have both said it. I don't give a damn who they have on the outside or who their new rookie quarterback is if this kid cannot stay upright. The Bengals gave up 48 sacks last year, and now this is the third time where they pass up the opportunity to get an offensive lineman. What happens if they can't move the ball down the field because the kid can't stay upright?
Well, I think there's no arguing that, and I think that he's going to, as we've said many times the last two nights, he's going to learn on the job, learn on the fly. He's going to learn the hard way. It's called pain day for a reason. Nevertheless, we got to live with what they've done, and it is what it is. And I like the kid out of Laramie. I think he can play football. Remember, he's a leader. They loved him. He was a captain, like I said, multiple times. And so he's proved that his teammates love him. They believe in him. He knows how to talk football. They respect him in the huddle. As an inside linebacker, I think he can play more than that position as well. I think he'll make some big plays in the Queen City.
Over 100 tackles in back-to-back seasons for Wilson, yet the Cincinnati Bengals gave up the most rushing yards in the NFL last year, 148.9 yards per game. How do you see Cincinnati closing those gaps?
Well, with him, for one, he makes a lot of tackles. I think they're obviously concerned about the interior, like Dane said, on both sides of the ball. They have problems up the gut, in the trenches. That's where men are made in the NFL. And I think this is a guy that knows how to snuff the run, deflect passes, pick off passes, and try to go hizzy. I mean, I don't mind the pick at all. I think they've made a lot of progress in these last two nights for a loser franchise. You talk about franchises that don't get it done. Cincinnati, Cleveland. Now, I like what the Bills are doing. They're a great team, great coach. I like what they're doing in the front office. I like that defense. I think it's one of the best in the NFL. But they haven't won a playoff game since Jesus came out of the tomb.
The one thing I would say going into this week, the Bengals or the Jaguars had the worst roster top to bottom. And I would say the Bengals are out of the cellar. I think they've added a couple of pieces here that are going to help. There's still a long way to go. As far as the offensive line is concerned, we've seen them draft guys in the first round the previous two seasons, Brian Price and Jonah Williams. So hopefully that helps Joe Burrow. But I can appreciate what you're saying, Scott. There's still they still have a lot more pieces to go.
They're still a last place team.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I don't think there's any doubt about that. So good stuff. We'll come back. We got Kevin Walsh coming in for the NFC East. Thanks, Scott. We'll
talk to you again. Get on that live chat, Freak. Come on, Ariel. You and all your Raven fans, get on that live chat.
So Kevin Walsh is in at the Kevin Walsh. Antonio Gibson, the running back from University of Memphis, is right here. So so much for the Washington running back committee, whether it's Peterson, whether it's whoever has been there in years past. Just throw another log on the fire. Bryce Love, whomever you want to throw on the fire, Kev.
Well, the interesting actually thing about Gibson is some people think he might be a wide receiver in the league. And that type of versatility, to me, makes this a really, really nice pick for Washington. It's been a while since we've spoke about this team. They had the second overall pick. They had not picked all the way until now. And at two, we talked about it, right, how they need a lot of talent in a lot of places. So to take Gibson, who could certainly take for snaps for them at running back, but also line up all over the field as a wide receiver, makes me really like this pick for Washington.
Yeah, 6'2", 228. And as Kevin said, I think he only touched the ball 60 or 70 times last year. So certainly could slide in there. Go ahead, Dave.
No, I was going to say exactly that. This versatility, the idea, first of all, you're talking about another log on the fire. It's, again, people adding, you know, other weapons to the stable, filling different roles. But, Kevin, what do you think he will be in Washington? Will he be in the backfield? Will he be in the slot? Do you think he'll touch it from the outside? What do you think they will use him as in Washington?
I think a slot wide receiver probably makes the most sense. If you were to evaluate him strictly as a running back, his best trait is as a pass catcher. So potentially he could contribute in that role as well. And we know how popular running back by the committee is. So him getting a couple snaps there makes some sense to them. But this team is very, very much so in need of more wide receiver talent. So to bring him in and add that versatility is a move that I certainly like.
Mentioning that, with Terry McLaurin, the breakout wide receiver for the Redskins last year, leading the way with 919 receiving yards, you're talking about a receiver in Gibson who had 7 receiving touchdowns for over 40 yards. It looks like he could find the end zone from anywhere from the field, which Washington's going to really need. However, who is he going to match up best with at quarterback?
Well, that's really the thing, right? And I think one of the trends I feel like we are seeing in this draft are these teams with young quarterbacks prioritizing talent to make sure they can find if they, you know, that they're getting the best out of those guys. Denver did it right with taking Judy and then another receiver. So the Jets obviously being able to get Mims in the spot that they did, and I think that's what we're seeing from Washington here. Gibson can come in and help them figure out whether Haskins is the guy or isn't.
Your timing is immaculate tonight. Julian Okwara just got drafted by the Lions. Yet another Notre Dame player comes off the board. So since you're a big ND guy, tell me a little bit about Okwara. It's not your division technically, but let's hear about it.
Well, I think he's really, really good. I think that Notre Dame actually quietly had a pretty good draft class that they were going to be putting into this year's draft. And you can see it right now as they're showing the highlights, just the ability to stop on a dime and make that kind of play that they just showed there, come off the edge on block, stop, bat the pass, pick the pass. He's a real special, special athlete. I'll just say, you talk about timing. I did miss out being on here for when the Eagles took Jalen Hurts. And for censorship purposes, it was probably for the best.
Yeah. So let's go back to that. That's
sure.
Your division. You are an Eagles fan. So,
yeah.
Look, it's not a vote of confidence for Carson Wentz. He is hurt all the time. So right. This is somebody that could,
Got yourself a playoff quarterback.
Yeah, I guess, right? Because someone else is going to have to play the playoff games. It's frustrating because there was talent like Christian Fulton on the board there at a position of need, a guy who I think his fall was completely ridiculous.
Kevin, they signed 5 defensive backs this offseason.
Yeah, but you said it yourself. They're going to cut him. And I mean, you know how bad.
Mike, they're going to cut the other guys.
No, I know. This is the thing, Mike. I've known you a long time. Since I've known you, I've always been complaining about their secondary. I know they
it
got
serious play,
but they could use to get more guys at that position. The one thing I will say is, because you're probably not going to find anybody saying real positive things about this move, if you were to try to make the case for it, it's a matter of philosophy to me, where this is a league that everybody acknowledges quarterback is the most important position in the league, and it's not even close. But for some reason, we never, ever value the backup quarterback position. We just accept it. If your top guy goes down, you're lost. As Philly knows, and all Eagles fans know, their top guy went down, who was a MVP candidate at the time that he went down, probably in the lead. They still won the Super Bowl with Nick Foles. So Philly being able to move on from Josh McCown to make sure that their backup quarterback situation is locked in is one that I can understand. And as much as to me the Wentz injury history is somewhat not talked about appropriately because it's more freak injuries than a reoccurring thing, it's not like your Derrick Rose type of situation. But nevertheless, he has now consecutive seasons finished the year on the IR. So him being able to come in and, you know, if things go wrong with Wentz, step up, then That works for me, although I personally hope I never see Jalen Hurts start a game for the Eagles.
Fair point. So, all right, well, sorry to bring you in and out of here quickly, but we got a few guys lined up, and the Jets just selected as well. We'll talk to you again soon. So, Dane, we got Jets pick Ashton Davis, the defensive back out of University of Cal Berkeley, and we got Gabe here as well. So, Gabe, I'll let you, Dane, I'll let you comment on it first. It's your team, and then we'll have Gabe comment as well.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by the pick. I kind of like it. I thought they were going to go cornerback as opposed to safety. Play speed, had a good 40 time. So everything you read about Davis is that he is quick to the ball and can be explosive. And in this day and age, against the passing game, you can try him out at corner because of that speed. But that was the asset that brought him to the Jets in this third round.
Gabe, your comments on Ashton Davis here for the Jets.
A little bit of a surprise, to be honest. I guess the writing is on the wall right now as far as Jamal Adams is concerned. As Dane mentioned, the kid is freakish fast. Another multi-sport athlete, played baseball, was a center fielder before. But to me, the Jets had bigger needs right now. I guess they just figured he was such a good athlete that they wanted to take him.
Yeah.
But it's the same point in time, their offensive line could have used some help. To me, I don't know. To me, the theme right now is Zach Bond falling as much as he has. We're talking about a freakish athlete, 13 sacks, and get after the quarterbacks, played against elite competition. I'm really surprised. You look at Greg Williams, he likes, like, nasty guys. You're getting a Southern California sort of track star now coming to the Meadowlands. Surprised me a little bit. To be honest, we've seen this. Seems like teams are really building. Listen, the Jets, they're not in win now mentality, but I would say the writing is on the wall for Jamal Adams. You know, listen, they need to get to the quarterback. They really haven't. I mean, it used to be the New York Sack Exchange, right? Yep. I mean, those days were a long time ago, but when was the last time the Jets really had someone who was like, man, this kid's killing people. He's getting to the QB. It was John Abraham,
the last time they had him, and that's when they drafted him in the first round back in the day. I think this guy profiles as
a... I think you and I had hair that day.
I know, it's possible. I also thought you guys had the Notre Dame edge rusher going, and when you went to Kevin Walsh...
Yes, you know, it's funny. I was thinking him.
There was also a guy out of Florida, Zuniga, who I think is interesting. And Gabe, here's the thing. The Jets now, because of their trade in the second round, and this was the trade for Leonard Williams, the Jets have three third-round picks. That was just the first one. I think that one, Ashton becomes a nickel corner for the Jets, not necessarily a safety. I would bet my bottom dollar that before we leave air tonight with one of these two picks the Jets will make, it will be an edge rusher.
I can't disagree with that. And the way things going, Zach Bond will probably be there still.
Yeah, that diluted. You have to wonder if that diluted sample that he had during the draft process, during the combine, is impacting it. I would suggest it probably is. Gabe, you're gonna be busy tonight. Jets with several more picks. We're gonna bring you back in a little bit later. We got Craig Mish coming up here to talk Dolphins. So thanks, Gabe, and we'll talk to you again soon. The most recent pick off the board was Seattle Seahawks pickup Damian Lewis out of LSU, another LSU player, the guard out of LSU, the eighth LSU player off the board in this draft through just 69 picks. Eight of those players are from LSU. And we got Craig Mish here. Miami Dolphins on the clock. Craig, what do you got for us?
Well, look, at this point, they can go a number of different directions. The unfortunate part for Miami is while they did really well, I think, at the top of the first round, when you look back at it now, if they had to do it all over again, I think they probably would have been better suited to get one of those top five running backs that have already been off the board. I was surprised that Dylan went to Green Bay. I thought maybe that would be an option for them at this point. Honestly, Mike, and outside of maybe Zach Moss, I think the Dolphins are probably going to have to roll with Jordan Howard as their starter no matter what going into 2020. But potentially they'll get another running back at some point. Maybe it's here or maybe it's down the line. I know they like edge rusher from Florida, Jonathan Greenard. That could be a potential pick here. And I'll pick up my phone now as we're talking here and refresh.
That's all right, man. You're the
address it in the draft. Have you been hearing of any, you know, free agent potential running backs that could be in the mix if they were running back during the draft, like it seems like they either are or are not trying necessarily. Could they go the free agency route?
Well, they definitely were trying, Dan. I mean, they wanted Dobbins for sure before the Ravens sniped them. So, I mean, I was, you know, already here to talk to you guys about them getting Dobbins, and I think that that shocked them. And I think that we were all surprised that Akers went a little bit ahead of Dobbins in the draft, too. So, I mean, your point is well taken. I think certainly they could go the free agent market. The other thing that they could do is they could get into the fourth or fifth round and take a deep breath and say, we'll pay Leonard Fournette $4 million next year.
I mean, they
could do that, but do you do that on a team that's a 6-win team or a 7-win team? I think you do that if you're a 10-win team, maybe. So I don't know. We'll just have to see.
Yeah, good stuff. I think you're a good point. You got Zach Moss, LaMichael Pirine, some of the names at the running back position that we could be seeing there. So, again, Craig, you've talked about it. We've all talked about it here. There's still a lot of building blocks that need to happen for this team. So you can't say any particular pick is wrong when you're selecting 14 guys,
Mike,
right?
That's right. Yeah, I mean, think about it. You start the season 0-7, 0-8 last year. Come on. I mean, they need everything.
It's all relative.
Cool. Well, thanks, Craig. We'll see if you're back here with us for the pick in hour number 4 of our coverage on the Sports Grid Draft Special. We'll be back right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.